Five times, John's men were proud to have him as a CO. By Smile Backwards. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. 1. Lance Corporal Sam Jacobson is a third-generation Marine. He has service ribbons from Iraq and Afghanistan and a Silver Star for something he doesn't like to talk about. But all his experience hasn't prepared him for Atlantis. Stranded in a dead city with water pressing in on all sides, and every officer on the wrong side of the Stargate, is not a good place to be. At the end of the day, the city floats peacefully on the surface of a blue, blue ocean, but Colonel Sumner is reduced to memory and a pair of dog tags clutched tightly in Major Shepard's fist, and there are ancient, life-sucking vampires in the spaces between stars waiting. Sam can't really say that things are looking up. Some of the Marines blame Shepard. Don't like the way he's stepping in to take Sumner's position. Sam sees the brittle weariness in Shepard's eyes and doesn't know what he feels. About 15 crises and one Genai invasion later, the men have learned to trust Shepard, to follow him with their eyes full of awe. Sam is the same. He would do anything Shepard asks of him. Fight for him, die for him. But the first time he really feels that swell of pride that Shepard is his CO isn't when Shepard proves he can use a sniper rifle without laser sighting, or when he blows up a 10,000-year-old wraith. It's when Shepard and his team stumble back through the Stargate with 25 refugees of a culling. Shepard is lowering a wounded man gently to the gate room floor, and the blood on his hands is from trying to save someone. 2. Sergeant Lisa Emmett loves Atlantis. She loves the wide-open ocean and the ancient database and going off-world. She also loves the hand-to-hand practice sessions Major Shepard insists on. Lisa enjoys the looks on the Marines' faces when she wipes them out with them. 6 months on Atlantis, and they still seem honestly surprised that a woman can knock them to the ground, can beat them at anything. She's waiting for the day when she'll see respect in their eyes instead of snapping anger or hot embarrassment. Lisa arrives at the training rooms early for every session. Usually the rooms are empty and she can take a moment to stretch in peace. Today, however, there are sounds coming from the far arena. The hollow thunk produced by the impact of wood on wood. Curious, she creeps silently to the doorway. Major Shepard and Tayla Amagin are facing off, a pair of wooden sticks in each of their hands. As Lisa watches, Shepard brushes a trail of sweat from his forehead with a wrist, and Tayla takes the opening to lunge forward. Shepard brings the stick in his left hand around just in time to catch the blow from Taylor's first swing, but her other arm comes around quick as a whip and smacks a stripe across his shoulder. Lisa winces in sympathy. Shepard twists and strikes out, but Taylor dances around him gracefully and cuts his legs out from under him. He lands on his back with a quiet oof, and Lisa watches for the spark of anger in his eyes. Shepard laughs, his eyes lit bright with pleasure. "Wait, show me that move again," he says, taking Taylor's hand to haul himself up. Taylor's lips quirk in a smile, and Shepard quickly edits, "Slower." Taylor laughs, too, and mimes the move on an invisible opponent. Lisa has never loved Atlantis more than right this moment, watching Shepard get beat up by Taylor with a pair of sticks and laugh. 3. Lieutenant Leon Kappel is one of three German soldiers stationed on Atlantis. Atlantis may be an international venture, but the military is overwhelmingly American. It doesn't usually bother him. The Marines are well-trained, and they perform their duties admirably. And it's not that they're hostile, even unfriendly. It's just that they have this sense of community that Leon is outside of. Sometimes they look at the flag patch on his left arm, and when they see black, red, and gold instead of red, white, and blue, something about them feels far away, dismissive. Leon shrugs it off. Kind problem. Still, when his gate team is assigned to a mission with Colonel Shepard's team, It feels like a chance to prove himself. He's gearing up in the ready room when Shepard strolls in, nodding and greeting. Shepard has never given Leon the kind of accidental indifference the Marines have. In fact, the colonel has always seemed to watch him more, a touch of worry in his eyes. Leon isn't sure what to make of that, whether to be defensive or pleased. It depends on motivations that he has not been able to determine. "You doing okay, Lieutenant?" Shepard asks casually, and he might mean it any number of ways. Ready for the mission? Liking your posting? Fitting in? "Yes, sir," Leon replies, because he is mostly doing okay with all of those things. Shepard looks at him carefully and he shrugs on his BDU jacket. He very deliberately removes his American flag patch before his Atlantis one. Leon feels something inside himself warm and salutes. Can't not. Shepard gives him a crooked smile and salutes back. 4. Warrant Officer Christopher Adams works in the control room. It's a lot of data analysis and hurry up and wait, passing the time between Stargate activations, but Chris likes it. He's less thrilled with his supervisor, Dr. Waters, who is convinced that the military should stick to shooting guns and leave the real science to people who spent 10 years in grad school. So Chris is a little viciously pleased when something sparks at Waters Station and he lets out a curse. Colonel Shepard is just coming out of Dr. Weir's office and he makes a detour over to see what's wrong. "I don't think I can really explain it to you, Colonel," Waters says condescendingly. "Nah, that's okay. I think I get it," Shepard replies, gazing at the data on the laptop screen. Waters looks at him doubtfully. "You fried the system because you used a recursive algorithm instead of a deterministic one." Shepard gives a smile full of teeth. "You should probably rewire the circuit board and write a new algorithm, shouldn't you?" he asks, all false charm. Yes, Waters squeaks, looking horrified and embarrassed and impressed all at once. Chris beams at Shepard. Shepard shrugs, hidden amusement in his eyes, and strolls away with a loose, easy gait. Chris knows Waters will glare at him and give him night shifts for a month, but he can't hold in the laugh. 5. Major Evan Lorne has a secret hidey hole in Atlantis that he likes to escape to when the endless drag of paperwork gets to be too much, or Parrish gets into his head that they should go back to the planet of the human-sized Venus flytraps for just one more specimen, Major, please. It's a balcony, high up in one of the empty buildings lining the West Pier. He likes to watch the sunset, to smear red and gold paint across a clean white canvas, and know he'll never be able to capture the beauty. Today, the ordinary calm stillness of his sanctuary is cut by the hum of a puddle jumper, but Lorne doesn't mind. The ship skims gently along the surface of the ocean, like a skipping stone, before making several smooth flips and shooting off into the horizon. Lorne can tell it's Shepard flying. He's flown with a lot of pilots, but he can say without reserve that Shepard is one of the very best. Shepard flies like the jumper is a piece of himself, like poetry through motion. Lorne doesn't think the Marines really understand that. To them, a pilot is a pilot is a pilot, although they'd probably be less able to see the difference if they ever saw Shepard flying side by side with an ordinary Air Force pilot. Lorne understands the difference instinctively. "That was some nice flying today, sir," Lorne says admiringly over dinner, and Shepard smiles, bright and solid with joy. Lorne feels it like the press of Shepard's hand against his shoulder. The end.